I have one brief reading to commence this afternoon. Mark's Gospel, please, chapter 13. Mark's Gospel 13. I'm just going to read a few verses and get going. Some verses at the start and some verses at the close of the chapter. Verse number 3, for sake of time, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. That's the only time that those four names are mentioned together. I know in other places with other names, but these are the four. Verse 4, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign? What shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? Verse 5, Jesus answering them, began to say, take heed. And then he goes down the chapter and answers that question. Let's come to the end of the chapter, please. Verse number 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye shall know that summer is near. Now, you know the part of the parable. I'll move on. Notice what he says in verse 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, if you want to know what that verse means, you can ask some of these beloved brethren who know the Bible well. Verse 33, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. Notice the emphasis here on this little word, watch. Verse 33, take ye heed, watch, and pray. Verse 34, for the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house, gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Notice, please, the emphasis on this word, watch. Verse number 33, watch. Verse number 34, watch. Verse number 35, watch. Verse number 37, watch. Now, the Lord will bless what we have read together for a few minutes. Now I'll try and be as short as possible and leave the maximum time for our beloved brethren. Of recent days, I've been really pondering in my own studies the four Gospels and specifically chapter 13 of Matthew, chapter 13 of Mark, chapter 13 of Luke and chapter 13 of John. Obviously, we can't develop either of those except what we have read here in chapter 13 of Mark. When we're looking at Matthew chapter 13, we're thinking of the parables of the kingdom of the heavens, seven in all. When we come to this chapter where we have read in Mark 13, it's a prophetic ministry. And as our brother Hay has already been telling us, that linked with prophecy are very obvious observations for practical living for the Lord Jesus. When we come to Luke chapter 13, predictions by the Lord, that chapter is full of them. For example, you remember at the start of that chapter, all kinds of them, I'll just quote one. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's a prediction from the very lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come to John's Gospel, chapter 13, it's a further thought. Here are practical issues. For example, the use of the basin and how to handle one another as we move through Christian life. Today, I want to focus for a few minutes on the end portion of this chapter. Let me just show you how we come to the truth of what's presented by the Lord Jesus Christ. As I have read to you, these four disciples with the Lord Jesus on the very eve of Calvary, they're on Mount Olivet, and they're looking across the Kidron Valley at the ornate buildings and the temple in Jerusalem. And the Jewish people of that day were absolutely enthralled with the buildings that were standing there for years. They seemed to draw the attention of the Lord Jesus to how they felt. And in answer to that, the Lord said, the time is coming when there won't be one stone left upon another. And historically speaking, it happened in AD 70 when Titus, the Roman governor, came and leveled the city of Jerusalem. It's pretty obvious that there's a prophetic view at the end of the Great Tribulation when the enemies of the people of God, the remnant of that day, will recognize the very truth of what we're reading here. The disciples now are amazed, if I have understood it correctly. And they're asking the Lord, when will this happen? And even putting the Matthew 24 passage along with it, what is the sign of thy coming and the consummation of the age? And in answer to those questions, the Lord Jesus Christ outlines a prophetic ministry in Mark chapter 13. Here's a very simple way of handling this chapter. I'll just give you the headings and move on. Do you see in verses 1 to 5, he's talking about the temple. Verse 3 in the passage shows you that. When you come to the middle section of the chapter, verses 6 through 31, the great subject is the great tribulation. Verse number 24 in that section. Remember what the Lord said about it? In chapter 24 of Matthew, he said to his own, this great tribulation, when it takes place, there was nothing happened before it like it, or there'll never be another. That's a unique time. And you and I, as the saints of this great age, we will be out of the world and will be home in the Father's house as it takes place. And that brings me to what I want to talk about Notice the last section from verse 32 to verse 37. Time. Where do you get that? Look at your Bible, verse number 33, the time. The temple, the tribulation, the time. Now that brings me then to some of the truth that's lying right here on the surface. All these other things I leave. Isn't it interesting that as far as the time element is concerned, Mark is guided and directed to describe it in the four watches of the night. The Roman way of counting hours throughout the dark hours of the night. 6 p.m., 1800 hours military time, 1 second past that to 12 midnight, the evening watch. 12 midnight to 3 a.m., the midnight watch, and all that happens after that. And the verses there show you exactly what we're talking about. You see, the evening watch, the midnight watch, the cock crowing, and then the morning watch from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. The whole element, dear saints of God, is on time. Now, I want to just suggest to you that that's the historical view. It took place while these dear men were talking to the Lord Jesus. But then there's a dispensational setting. And I want to suggest to you, it might not be the interpretation, but it's a good application to just again think of the great age of grace from Pentecost, Acts 2, to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've been reminded in this conference, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, at any moment it's going to take place. And so it has often been pointed out that the evening watch describes the apostolic age, the early part of this great dispensation, when thousands were saved, and there was a mighty movement of God that never was seen before. But then, of course, the dark ages come when there was so much opposition to the work of God. And as already has been pointed out, God had his witness in different parts of the world at that particular time. And then, of course, the cock crowing answers to the awakening almost 200 years ago, when those dear saints heard the call of God in their hearts and the truth of the great coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ was revived in their hearts, and they left the state churches of the land and gathered to his precious name. I'll just take a minute and talk to you about one of these. Just a few months ago, last year in fact, we were invited to go to Lady Power's Court Estate. Maybe you never heard of it. Well, you want to read some of the literature about it and the early books and the chief men among the brethren and all the rest of it, where Lady Power's Court lived. And of course, it's all commercialized now. But when we went in there, we were taken by a guide upstairs, and it is supposed that this was the very room where the early believers at that time met to gather to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Congleton, William Kelly, John Nelson Darby, Lady Power's Court, and all the rest of it. And some of these dear people didn't know too much of the background, but the question was asked. Did John Nelson Darby sit in this very room where they remember the Lord Jesus at the start? And it said that it's supposed that this was the very location and maybe the very furniture that he sat on with others to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. What a cost that those dear brethren had, and sisters too, to leave the state churches and gather to the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendous. I want to suggest that as far as the dispensation of grace is concerned, we're in the morning watch. No one knows when the Lord is coming. The Father knows. And as the Lord Jesus sits on the throne beside him, Revelation chapter 3 tells you, he's about to hear from the Father and bring the Lord Jesus Christ to the air to call his waiting people home. Today, we might hear the shout. Tremendous truth. With all the ups and downs of life, and we look at the global picture today, the day must be very near when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming and the last soul will be gathered in and will be at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to ask you, as I ask my own heart, how does it affect you? My beloved brethren in assembly life that have the responsibility, is every part of business for the assembly in order? What about our families? What about our individual lives? What about our things in business life, secular world? He's coming. I'll leave that there with you. Now, in view of that, I want to take up this word that the Lord Jesus said to these four men. The emphasis in the chapter is on four. Four times. He said, men, I want you to think of the word watch. And to be very, very simple and to the point, I wouldn't want to insult anybody's intelligence. But there's a very apt message in the letters of the word, an acrostic. I would like to just refer to them before I sit down. See the first letter, W. Watch our words. That's what the Bible says. Every idle word that man will speak, he will give an account to God on that coming day. Right away, when we think of our words, we think in contrast of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never a man spake like this. They marveled at the gracious words that proceeded from his mouth. What about us? I like the little song we sing with the boys and girls. Oh, be careful, little tongue, what you say. There's a Savior up above watching over you in love. So be careful, very careful, what you say. Read James 3 and you'll know all about it. We're all the same. I'm just the same as you. Oh, that the Lord would help us in view of the coming to watch what we say. Now, all kinds of sidebars could be handled. I'll have to leave that. A would tell me, watch our actions. Right away, 1 Samuel 2, Hannah. By him, actions are weighed. How about it? Are we acting right? in view of his coming. Think of what is said about the Lord Jesus. His actions, he went about doing good. Was a man that said that was Peter, and he was in close and he knew all about it. Here's another man, and it's Dr. Luke, when he says, these are the things that are most surely believed among us. And then the contacts, they're about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Savior up above, watching over you in love. So be careful, very careful, what you do. I know of a case recently where an ungodly man said to a believer in assembly life, I'm surprised at you, sir, that you would put your hand to that. T, watch your thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What about the Lord Jesus Christ? I thought of that verse in Luke 12. I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straitened till it be accomplished? Forever on his burdened heart, a weight of sorrow hung, yet no ungentle murmuring word escaped his silent tongue. Let me put another line or two onto our song. Oh, be careful, little mind, what you think. There's a Savior up above, watching over you in love. So be careful, oh, be very careful what you think. Here's another one. C would tell us, watch our company. Evil communications corrupt good manners, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But I don't know anything about you, dear saints. God bless you, everyone. But I want to tell you that a believer is known by their company. I told one of your audiences here recently, it bears repeating. I sat beside a dear man in another land, and he got far away from God. And I won't even tell the story, but I'll give you the bottom line. He sat there, weeping his heart out. I've known him for years, and I just listened carefully. And I said to him, however did you get to this point? I listened to his answer. I said, Stan, company. I get into bad company. He was going down the road that a believer should never have gone. And he was in a restaurant one day with his buddies, far away from God. And he saw a big mirror on the wall. And at the top of it said, he restoreth my soul. The others didn't know anything what he was talking about. He left them right there and home to his own bedroom and down before his God. It was a word from God for the dear man. Oh, can I appeal to you today, whoever you are in this audience? Oh, be careful of your company. Maybe you're a younger person in life and we're delighted to see you at this conference. Maybe a young brother or a young sister and you're moving into a relationship with an unbeliever. My dear friend, we have come to appeal to you. The Bible's against it. I'll just tell you this incident as quickly as possible. I sat with my brethren years ago in Vancouver, and a dear young woman rung me up and she said, "Stan, I'm getting married." I said, "To who?" Told me. "Is he saved?" "No, he's an unbeliever." I'll never forget the night she came to talk to six elders, crying her heart out. Told us the story. She says, "I can't go back on it." I can remember reading to her and the others 2 Corinthians chapter 6. "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." What light, what concord, what fellowship, and all the rest of it. Dear girl, she cried her heart out. By and by, the marriage took place. And when they come back from their honeymoon, he drove her by the hall. He said, "Take a good look at that building. You'll never put your foot through there again." Oh, be careful, very careful, who you company with. The Lord is coming. It's pretty obvious that H would tell us about our habits. Right away, I think of that verse in Revelation chapter 22. You know what it says? "He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still." Do you know what that tells us? As we live our life down here, we will leave the world on how we have lived, believer or unbeliever, and it will never change. What about the habits of the Lord Jesus? Very reverently speaking, you look at the Luke 22 passage, John chapter 18. Old Judas Iscariot knew where to go. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane as he was wont to go. That was his habit. Dear brethren, what's your habit? What's mine? It's a very, very practical line of things in the light of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to ask you something. Do you see in this modern age that we live in, and I'm the same as you, I surf the net every day, and if you are in your bedroom or wherever you are, and you have your computer there and you have your Bible, now let's be honest, which one would you take first? What's your habit? I want to finish on this note. Dear brethren, the Lord is coming. Watch your words. Watch your actions. Watch your thoughts. Watch your company. Watch your habits. There's a Savior up above watching over you in love. So be very careful how we live. It has been well said, sow a thought, reap a word. Sow a word, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. I'll quote you a verse and sit down. In view of what I've tried to say to you today, we mightn't meet again. The Lord's coming. So flowers and flowers will blossom around you wherever you go. So weeds and of weeds reap a harvest. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. You'll reap whatsoever you sow. The harvest is certainly coming. And you'll reap whatsoever you sow. God bless you today for coming and for listening to the Holy Word. Thank you very much.